Well, the changes in the European economy, in the Mediterranean economy, in the seaborne economy, had profound changes across Europe in other fields of economic activity. It wasn't just a case of trade and commerce and coins being an activity restricted to a elite upper class or a merchant class or a literate society. That is a minimalist view of these early economies, which has been often taken much too far in ancient and medieval economies. To be sure, all of these economies before the Industrial Age were overwhelmingly depending on agriculture, or what I would prefer to call the production of consumables. That is food, textiles, goods that are immediately needed for your existence. They were not economies geared to creating machines or high-tech informational systems which would make more machines or disseminate knowledge. That's a feature that only comes in the late 18th century with industrialization in Britain and characterizes European economies in the 19th and 20th centuries. And so it's really unfair to simply dismiss it, well, it's just a little frosting on the cake of an agricultural economy. Far from it. That trade had some very important consequences for changes in Western European economic activity, which it quickened the pace of changes already seen at the, say, the year 1100. And I'd like to stress a couple of points along those lines. One was that all of this commerce and all of this increase in money made coined money, made monetized markets far more familiar to Europeans. That is, the number of activities and exchanges going on in European markets were far greater in, say, the year 1150 or 1200 than they had been in 1100 or 1000, and certainly in, say, 800 when Charlemagne was crowned. There was just a great deal more money and markets available. It led to the increase of the number of iron tools, the coulter plows, the horse collar plows, all of those breakthroughs which I discussed in the 10th and 11th century, which now can be extended and used across the arable lands of Western Europe and Central Europe and Scandinavia, all of these regions that have now been brought into the wider Latin Christendom, such as the peninsula of Jutland in Denmark today, the continental peninsula, an area that was probably underutilized in the 11th century, once consolidated as a Scandinavian kingdom. By the 12th century, all of these instruments and tools are available, and productivity goes up. And you could trace this across Central Europe, Eastern Europe, and Scandinavia. The adoption of the three-field system I had mentioned earlier, more efficient way of managing your land. The development of demesne, what's known as demesne farming, the farming of the area immediately under the owner of the lord. These in which you demanded labor services to work the lord's estate, and these could be diversified cash crops, commercial crops, or timber, or stock raising. While the villages pursued their more traditional subsistence agriculture and then paid dues to the lord in the form of rents in kind. So that lords took an immediate interest in developing different types of commercial crops that could get them money. Why? They had to go on crusade. They had to endow monasteries. There were vast amounts of money being laid out to the military monastic orders. Many in the nobility either joined the monastic orders or regularly contributed. There were the cost of pilgrimage. We even see some manors commercializing themselves. For instance, the properties of Cluny, that extremely important monastery, so important to the revival of European religious life, had vast amounts of properties in the 12th century. These were subdivided in what are known as deaneries. They were put under managers, overseers, and these fellows who were, you know, laymen, they weren't churchmen at all, specialized in different types of crops destined for the markets, which would be then sold for cash. And it depended on what was available. Even in the very relationship between lords and serfs, in the rendering of rents, that too was being changed. Most rents still were in kind, produce, whatever the arrangement was, wheat, you know, barley. On the other hand, there was an increasing move to commute, that is, to turn these services into cash payments. And this is a feature that will come to characterize European agriculture starting in the 12th century, running into the 14th century, and will receive a major impetus as a result of the Black Death, but that's a bit beyond our range. Nonetheless, lords are again interested in getting cash. And these are not just the secular lords, the barons, the nobles, but men who are knights, men who have relatively modest estates, who want to equip themselves with the horses, and the pretenses, the prestige goods coming in, brought by the Italians so that they could enter the ranks of the nobility. It's also, desired by all the monastic and ecclesiastical institutions, which have more and more incentive to purchase liturgical objects, relics, craftsmen, to carry out new construction programs, especially with the adaptation of Gothic architecture. You want, more dignified cathedrals. So, trade, especially that trade in the Mediterranean economy, is propelling major economic changes which have important social and cultural changes across Western Europe.